living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Well, it's good to be with you again. Say that because we weren't here last week. The girls and I were in Columbus, Ohio, because on Saturday, the girls were competing at the National Netherlands Dwarf Show. Pastor Greg has been challenging me for some time to figure out a way to work rabbits into the sermon, and I want you to know that I think I have done it. So we will see. So at the National Netherlands Dwarf Show last Saturday, there were 1,500 Netherlands Dwarf rabbits shown by 150 exhibitors. There were individuals there from all across the country and all across the world, from California to New York, from Canada to Germany to Slovakia. Okay, so this was a big deal in the rabbit world. I didn't know if you knew there was a rabbit world, but there is, and it was a big deal last week. It's what you might call, or what we like to call, the big dance. And let me tell you something about the Arthur women from New Palestine, Indiana. They did not walk away from that show empty-handed. Okay? Now, I've got a picture of one of the rabbits that they took to the show. This was an award winner. Okay? This is Arthur's Al. That's his name, Al. The girls do most of the naming. And actually, you may not know this, but they've been naming a lot of their rabbits after you here at the church. Because we've got a lot of rabbits. But we try to stay away from that because about 90% of the time, the rabbits do not turn out how you want them to. And so the truth of the matter is that they end up in the crock pot. And, you know, we don't want to cause relational tension here at church. You know, for an example of that, and this is a good story. But Arthur's Carl, okay? Last year, Arthur's Carl, we sold him to a girl, and she won grand champion at the Fayette County Fair with Carl. So that was a good deal. But see, Carl's litter mate, Casey, it didn't work out for her. And, you know, that's an example of what we're trying to stay away from, okay? But anyway, so this is Arthur's Al. And I'll try to keep this short because, believe me, I could make it very long. But I'll try to keep this short. At the end of the day, the Arthur women had 2 of the final 10 rabbits on the show table in the youth show. So at the National Netherlands Dwarf Show, they won 2 of the top 12 awards. Now, before we went, you know, I had dared to dream that they might have a chance to win one award. But I'll tell you, when Ellie's second rabbit, when it also won, I started getting a little misty up in the eyes. I'm not gonna lie about that. At the end of the day, they were one of only 2 exhibitors who had more than one rabbit on the show table. And so I know that this is no big deal. And, you know, you really are not that concerned about it, and that's fine. But, you know, the girls and I, for years now, I mean, we've been working and breeding and talking and arguing, you know, over these rabbits, working together, and just to see them go out every day and to take care of all of these rabbits and to not give up, to not give in, but to continue on and to get a win like that. It was a good win, you know. It was a good win. You can take Al off there. That's... Have you ever had a day like that? A win like that, a good win? You remember a time, you remember how that felt, the accomplishment there was in that, the satisfaction there was, the joy of it. Well, you know, we're going to read about some good wins in our passage of Scripture this morning. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. And last week, Pastor Greg, he took us through the first half of chapter 10. We saw that Jesus, he sent out the 72 in his name, and in the sending out, we found instruction for when you and I go out. We found, hey, you know, when we go out, we need to let our message, we need to let it be personal. We talked about it needs to be peaceful and it needs to be powerful, a personal, peaceful, powerful message, history-making messages. Those were the marching orders that Jesus gave the 72. So last week we read as Jesus sent them out, and then today in our passage we're going to find out what happened. You know, what happened to the 72 after they were sent out? What was the result of their history-making message? So we'll see in verse 17 of chapter 10, they return. So we'll pick up our reading there. I'm going to read from the NIV. The words are up here, but you're welcome to grab a Bible from underneath the chair in front of you there. But it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So what are we reading here? Well, again, understand, last week the disciples went out. Today they're returning, and what is happening? What's the fruit? What's the result of their history-making message? Well, the result is that they won. You know, the result is a good win. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So we see that the 72, they were excited. You know, they were ecstatic. They were victorious over that. They said, Jesus, you know, you're not going to believe this, Jesus. It's rocking my sandals off here. But you're not going to believe, but we went out there and we shared the message that you were wanting us to share, that personal message, that peaceful message, that powerful message that you told us to give. We went out and we gave that. And guess what, Jesus? Jesus, there was power in that. We saw you working in that. There was victory in that message. And the demons, this is the real kicker, Jesus. The demons, even the demons submitted. Even the demons ran. And Jesus, we won. It was a good win. Well, let's look at this morning. You know, why was it a good win? You know, what was it specifically that made it a good win? Well, it was a good win for a lot of reasons, but first I would say this. First I would say it was a good win because the 72 were obedient. It was a good win because the 72 were obedient. And you and I can understand this. We can take away from this that when I'm obedient, you know, when I'm obedient to Christ, when I'm following after Him, seeking out and doing His will, that's a good win. So how were the 72 obedient? Well, in the previous chapter, chapter 9, verse 60, Jesus sent out a call saying, you, 72, he said, you go ahead and you proclaim the kingdom of God. He told them that, and the 72, they were listening. They heard Jesus' words. They took them to heart. They lived James 1:19, which says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. And so we can understand, first of all, that the 72 were obedient when they heard Jesus' call. And we can understand that I'm obedient. I am being obedient when I hear Jesus' call, when I am listening for him. I'm being obedient when I'm stopping and I'm listening for him. So I would ask, are you in an obedient position today in that you are listening? Have you been listening for Jesus' call? Have you been listening, or of late, have you been the trumpet in your life? Have you been listening, or of late, have you been the French horn? Have you been the trombone in the symphony of life? Understand that you and I, we're obedient when I am listening, when I'm hearing Jesus. We also see obedience from the 72 in that they not only heard the call, okay, they were not only listening, but they also responded to that call. They not only heard the call, but they responded to the call. Chapter 10, verse 1 said, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them. So the 72, they went out. In their responding, they were living out James 1:22, which says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Maybe you remember that. Do what it says. James says, do what it says, so that we can understand then that I am obedient when not only do I hear, but I also go where Jesus has called me to go. I don't know if you've had opportunity lately, recently, to hear a call from Jesus. But if you have, you know, if he has been leading you, if he's been pushing you, if he's been causing your heart to ache for a cause, you know, if as of late, Jesus, he's been causing your heart to ache for something, or he's been causing your heart to ache for someone, are you going out? You know, are you being obedient to that call? Understand that when we respond to his call, we're being obedient. When we're hearing, when we're listening, and when we're responding to that call. And then finally, how else do we see that the 72 were obedient? Well, we see their obedience and that the 72 fulfilled their mission. Okay? The 72 fulfilled their mission. In our passage of Scripture today, not only did they hear, not only did they go, but they completed the work. Chapter 10:17 tells us that they returned. Okay? It says that they came back. So we know that they did not abandon the work. They did not give up or give in or go home. Hebrews 12:1, what's it say? It says to run with perseverance, to continue on. The 72 did, and so I can understand that I'm obedient when I fulfill the mission that God has called me to. When I'm listening, when I'm going out, and when I'm fulfilling what he's called me to do. No, because understand, you know, there are a lot of people that go out. And there are a lot of people that get excited, and there are a lot of people that like to volunteer and sign up and all those things. You know, but the number is few, you know, those who finish the work. You know, it's few those who carry it through to the end. So listen, what's all that to say? It's just communicating this truth that when I'm obedient to God's calling on my life, man, that's a good win. That's a good win. So, When we look at our passage of Scripture, we're talking about good winds, how and why and all of that. We can understand first it was a good wind because the 72 were obedient. Secondly, we can understand it was a good wind for the 72 because God used them. God used them. So I can understand that when God uses me, it's a good win. When God uses me, it's a good win. It was a good win, first of all, because the 72 found joy in being used by God. Verse 17 says they returned with joy. Psalm 126:3 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and as a result, we are filled up with joy." Psalm 119:32 says, "I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free." So may we make no mistake today that for those who are willing to give themselves to Jesus, for those who are willing to be used, for those there is a lasting, sincere, and solid joy. I'm filled with joy. My heart is set free when God uses me. Understand, it's a joy that will pass every picture that we could pocket. It's a joy that can squish every trinket that we could save. When God uses me, the joy comes. I find joy in that. So that's the first thing. The first reason it's a good win. I find joy. As well, when God uses me, we find that we're given spiritual power. You know, when God uses me, I'm given spiritual power. Verse 17 tells us that the demons submitted to the 72. And Jesus said in verse 19 that I have given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. Have you had opportunity to see Jesus' power? Have you ever seen His power? Have you ever seen His authority? Have you ever seen it move through you? Work through you. Whether it was through a prayer, whether it was through a bold word, whether it was through a single act, have you seen Him work? Understand how beautiful are the feet of those who bring to be held and to be carried through in a divine moment. We need to understand that when God uses me, when I am being used, the spiritual power is there to do spiritual good. When God uses me, I'm given spiritual power. In that moment, you know, I might just make a brief note about those moments. Being in those moments of use, the 72 told Jesus, "You know, man, Jesus, the demons they submitted to us." And Jesus replies to that, saying that while they were out, while they were working, while they were doing, Jesus saw the spiritual impact of their effort. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, what's significant about that when we're thinking about the moments that we're used and the spiritual power that comes, and that Jesus, that He saw Satan falling while the disciples were working? Now, what does that have to do with me when I'm given spiritual power? I think it's important for us to understand that while the 72 saw the demons, Jesus saw their king. Okay, while the 72 saw the demons, understand that Jesus saw their king. In other words, Jesus saw what was happening behind the veil. Jesus could see what was really happening. And that's important for me to remember, and that's important for me to understand, because listen, I'll tell you, when it comes to kingdom work, you know, in my life, the last 20 years, You know, I felt dumb a lot. Okay? I felt dumb a lot. I've not known what to say a lot. I've dropped the ball a lot. You know, I've put forth some effort and I looked at it. What I saw is the result. And I thought, a lot. Okay? I've done that a lot. So we need to understand that in those moments of frailty, when the spiritual power, when it seems to evaporate, to disappear, understand that we may see a failed attempt, but Jesus sees the enemy shrink. Okay? We may see a failed attempt, but it's Jesus who can see the enemy shrink. We may see a simple demon quiver, but it is Jesus that sees the power of hell quake. Isaiah 14:12. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, O son of dawn. You've been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' But it says you are brought down to the grave. You are brought down to the depths of the pit." Psalm 36:12 says, "See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise." And so it was that Jesus saw Satan thrown down like lightning from heaven. So I want you to know today that, you know, if you're out there and, man, you know, you're being faithful and you're working on carrying that message, that personal and that peaceful and that powerful history-making message. You know, you're being faithful to share that. And sometimes you may see the fruit. Sometimes you may see the win. I mean, we see that here in our passage of Scripture. The demon, they're the 72, they saw the demons flee. So make no mistake that we will see the win. But in the times that we don't see, in the times that the message is unreceived, or the message seems flat, or it bobbled, or messed up, remember that Jesus sees what's really going on. Jesus can see what is happening behind the veil. If we are faithful, if we are obedient, and are used by Him. So when God uses me, I find joy. When God uses me, I'm given spiritual power. And then we can also understand that when God uses me, I see Him at work. I'll get to see Him at work. In verse 17, as the 72 exercised the authority over the demons, they recognized that it was God working through them. It was Jesus at work. They acknowledged Jesus' lordship and His capability. They said that, "Jesus, this has been done in Your name." They went out. They were used by God. And they saw Him at work. They did the work in His name, in Jesus' name. And they saw Him work. You know, have you seen God work in Jesus' name? There's power in that. You know, when I graduated from high school, actually I went to Purdue. Don't tell Pastor Greg that. You know, he doesn't need to know that. But I'd only been there a few weeks when I got sick. And I'm talking like crazy sick. And my dad came up and got me. And I mean, just for the next 3 weeks, I mean, I couldn't hardly move. And it'd be like every morning, you know, you would wake up and your pillow is just soaked to the core with sweat. And I was going to more than one doctor, several doctors, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they didn't think it was mono because the symptoms were just so severe. And so for 3 weeks, a constant fever almost, and just losing weight and all that good stuff. I remember that some 3 weeks after I had gotten sick, that my aunt and my cousin, they showed up in the middle of the night. And, you know, I was in and out of it, and I was sweating like a pig and all that business. You know, but I remember, you know, my aunt and my cousin and my mom, coming around me in the dark. And I remember them saying, you know, Shane, we're going to put our hands on you. You know, we're going to pray for you. And I don't remember much about it because I was falling asleep and waking up and falling asleep and waking up. And I don't know how long that they prayed, but I will tell you that they did battle that night, you know, over me. They engaged in spiritual warfare, and they were doing it in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, you know, that night, you know, my fever broke after three some weeks, and I woke up, and I was starving to death. I was wanting Chinese food. So Mom drove to Dragon Palace in Greenfield. Any Dragon Palace fans out there? I know there's a couple here and there, you know. She went to Dragon Palace and got me several things. And I just ate like a horse all day. But, of course, after, you know, 3 weeks, my time at Purdue was shot. So that was was the end of that little excursion. But, look, I'm just telling you that story because understand that when God uses you and you're doing it in His name, you know, you're going to see work accomplished. You're going to see powerful work done for the kingdom of God. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a good win. When I'm obedient, man, good win. When God uses me, man, another good win. Both of those good wins, no doubt. But we have a but in our story today. Jesus tells the 72, those things, you know what? They're good, but they're not the best. They're not the best win. In our passage of Scripture, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I don't know why exactly Jesus felt that it was important, that it was necessary to point this out to them. Several of the commentators I read said that, you know, well, the 72, I mean, they were out of line here. They were putting their achievements over Jesus. And they were wrong in that. But I don't know if I agree with that because, you know, in verse 17, you see that the 72, they referred to Jesus as Lord. Okay, so in ascribing that title to him, you know, they clearly recognized his position, you know, where he was and where they were. So in addition, you know, we recognize that they acknowledge the source of power, you know, by doing the work in his name, you know, in Jesus' name. We mentioned that earlier. So they're ascribing that position of authority. They're doing the work in his name, not in the name of the 72, but in Jesus' name. So I don't know if I would agree that yes, the 72, they were putting their achievements above Jesus' achievements. But I do think that it's probably likely that what happened here was Jesus recognized that there was an unsafe attraction towards personal achievement. Okay, so maybe it wasn't so much of a rebuke by Jesus here, but it was a simple warning. Jesus recognized, he could see the way that the heart tended to lean. So perhaps more of a warning than a rebuke. So he was saying, guys, listen, you know, be careful, be mindful in your rejoicing. Because it's true, when you're obedient, man, guys, that's a good win. It's true, when you're being used by the Father, man, it's a good win. But when we're rejoicing in Jesus, that's the best win. That's the greatest win of all. We can understand the best win is when I rejoice in what Jesus has done rather than in what I've done. Do not rejoice in that the Spirit submit to you. The best win is when I rejoice that my name is written in heaven. He said that's when we rejoice, that when our names are written in heaven. That word for written in the Greek there, it's actually translated as stand written. Okay? As stand written. In everyday Greek, it was used to refer to making a list of a public register. Okay, an official census that were used to ascertain military strength, figure out taxation, allotting work, all of that. It referred to the official recording of information, official documents, writing names down. And so when Jesus is talking about being written, our names being written in heaven, he's referring to the book of life. An official book that we read about in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 verses 11 through 15, it reads, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So Jesus says, listen, the best win is when your name is written in that book, in the book of life. That's the best win of all. Why? Because the book of life, to be in the book of life, that is ground for the certainty of salvation. To be in the book of life is ground for the certainty of salvation. Power and authority and usefulness and obedience, work for the kingdom, you know, all those are good things. They're good wins. But the best win, the greatest win, the supreme win over all is our gracious and our secure standing before God, bought for us by Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, won for us in his raising from the dead. It's a security that was won by the one who sent out the 72. That's the best win of all, guys. You know, that's the best win. When we recognize Christ as the sinner and the author of all, and we stand back and we just soak in grace, in grace, in grace. That's the best win. I thought about that song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know thus saith the Lord. So good winds are great. And we can understand from our passage today that when I'm obedient, it's a good wind. When God's using me, that's a good wind. But the best wind is when I recognize and I rejoice in Jesus Christ, my Savior. So let's just bow our heads and stop for a moment. Father, first of all, we thank you for calling us. Thank you for enabling us to respond to you spiritually. Thank you for enabling us to actually do some good, to honor you and to further your kingdom. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for using us. Thank you for each moment that we turn our back on ourself and we turn our back on the world and we say, Jesus, you know, I want to be about you today. I want to go after you. In those moments, it's you working through us, and we just give you all praise and thanks for that, for every good work. But Jesus, most of all today, may the gratitude spill out from my heart that without you, I am dead. And apart from you, I am nothing. Just noise, meaningless noise in the world that you created. But Father, in you, with you, through you, because of the work of your Son, our names are written in the book of life for all those who will believe. We thank you for that. We just sincerely stop and we thank you. Thank you that my name is written in the book of life. Thank you that the fear of death, the pain of death, the sting of death doesn't have to hold sway over me any longer because of him. And so today we just rejoice in Jesus' work. And Father, we just want to pray for any heart that might be here this morning. Any heart that perhaps is indifferent. Any heart that would seek to go its own way and do its own thing. Make its own sound. Father, I just pray that your peace, I pray that your truth would break through to those hearts. That there'd be a sincere spirit of repentance that would fall. And that there'd be a turning to you today. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for using us and never giving up. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.